repent and glorify his holy name. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor and the power. Have your way in our lives. Let your name be exalted. Let your name be highly lifted up. For indeed you have already spoken to all these people things for this year. Let your name be highly, highly, highly exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning's service will be quite interesting and maybe surprising for some of you. But don't be surprised. Just follow. The thing about the Spirit of God is you cannot predict him. You know, Scripture says wherever it's like a wind. It can blow wherever it chooses to blow. You really cannot predict it. So I'd like you to pay close attention. Those who were not here in December, like Sarah, I brought copies of your own book. You know, so at the end of the service, if you remember the book we did last December, the thing I did this month, Pastor, is that I discounted it to £10. January sale. Yeah. Because I'm assuming people need to buy and give copies here and there. And so at the end of the service, you know, it's £10. You can get as many copies as you want. It's some people have who has finished reading already? Has anyone finished reading? Oh, you just missed a free book. I did it in church in London. The first two people who finished, I gave them two free copies. So I thought...
I finished by faith.
Okay, I'll give you a copy by faith. I'll give you a copy by faith. All right, who is in chapter... Who has passed chapter 7?
Six.
Who has gone beyond chapter 6? You have? What chapter are you in? Which chapter are you in? 6. Have you finished?
Nearly.
So you come, you won my prize. Come and have your copy. As fastest reader. She's nearly finished. Congratulations, okay? This is your free copy. Yeah, good girl. We give God praise and glory. Last year, as the year was coming to an end, so I was praying. I did mention it when I came in December that God was leading me to go back to foundation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I told myself, wherever I go this year, I will try to look at foundational issues. Because a lot of times you can deviate from God and you wouldn't even know. And if you don't constantly refer back to your foundation, you know, there was a time Paul said, you know, think, consider, analyze yourself, and see if you're still in the faith. In other words, Paul was telling them, you know, different versions put the verse in different ways. But the summary Paul was saying is that once in a while, stand back, evaluate your life, and see if you're still in the faith. That's a very deep statement. In other words, Paul is saying, you may have left the faith and you don't even know. And so there's a constant thing you have to do all the time to ensure that you are in the faith. So I asked the question last month in the church in London. I said, all right, let's assume you are building, okay? And at the back of your mind, when you started the project, the architect did the job, you know, everything. And it was supposed to be a two-story building. How many stories?
Two.
And you build the first floor, and you start at the second one. And it struck you that something has happened in the neighborhood, and the value of properties have increased. And you realize if you put up a 10-story building, you will hit a fortune you can't even imagine. So my question was, what do you do? What do you do? The thing is, a 10-story building gives you, say, all right, in a commercial, let's just say for argument's sake or just to be able to explain what I'm trying to do, that a 2-story building gives you an income of, say, $10,000 a month. I'm just, for argument's sake, you know. And a 10-story gives you an income of $500,000 a month, for example. What would you do? There are 2 things you can do. The first thing you can do is you can say, wow, this is great. And then you put up the 10 stories on a 2-story foundation. Because you are so emotionally attached to your investment so far, you cannot destroy it.
Come on.
Because when you look at the 2-story foundation, you remember the loan you took from the bank, how much sand and, you know, cement and what do you call that, you know, how much of energy has gone in. And you feel like it is part of your story. You can't destroy it. So to preserve it, you maintain it, and then you add 8 more stories on the foundation that was designed for 2. Simply because you haven't understood that foundation is more important than the building. And if it's a normal local government, of course, they wouldn't grant you permission for that. But the thing is, likewise, our spiritual local government also will not grant us permission for that. But because we don't listen to that and we don't even know what it is saying, we mount it up. You know the difference in Matthew chapter number 7 between the 2 houses? It says a certain man built his house on the sand. Remember that? And another man built his house on the rock. Did they both build?
Yes, they did.
Were both houses similar?
Yes.
Could you differentiate which house was on the sand and which was on the rock?
No.
Looking at both?
No.
So it's possible you can actually build and succeed.
That's right.
And be celebrated on a sandy foundation.
That's right.
So it's possible.
So
it's possible 2 people can be lifting up hands singing in the same choir. The one is singing from the rock, another is singing from the sand. So it's possible 2 leaders can be in the same church. One is on the rock, one is on the sand. And people looking at them, they can't make the difference. And scripture says, one day the storm came. The rains, the storm, the tempest. It triggered like 3 things that beat up on that house. It says, and the rain descended. 1, what? Rain. 2, when rain came, nothing happened. Then the flood added. Then the wind blew. 3 things hit it. Because the sandy foundation could resist the rain. It withstood the flood. But it was doomed by the wind. And so there are some trials that the sandy foundation can handle. And when that happened, it said, listen to this, and it fell not. You see, that's the one that was on the rock, isn't it? For it was what? Foundation. Upon? Why did it not fall? Foundation. Go to the next verse. It now says, that's Matthew chapter number 7. Everyone that heareth, you know, the sayings of mine and doeth them not. Because I'm coming to that. Heareth and doeth not. How you know your foundation, out of the 3 ways you know. This is the first one. Do you do what you hear? Reveals your foundation. It's not an emotional thing. It says, and doeth them not shall be likened unto a what? Foolish man. So who is a foolish man? In other words, the guy who built on the sand, you all agree he invested money. He built the building, the structure, the business, the marriage, the family, the church, the whatever you're building. Okay? He built it. It was successful, mind you. His name was in the register of property owners in the city. When they're looking for who is who in the city, he comes. He was there. So before you and I, very successful man, isn't he? That's what he says. But scripture calls him foolish man. So who is a foolish man? To you and I would have called him a very smart, wise businessman. Giving lectures, University of Liverpool, on business. Teaching MBA courses. And he has a portfolio to prove it. It says, which built his house upon the what? Sand. Verse number 27. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. You know why they were astonished? He has introduced to them a concept of life that can somersault all your philosophy. Because he has made them realize that what you call success can actually be foolishness. Why did this house fall? Because of the foundation. It was not founded upon the rock. Therefore, houses don't fall because storms beat upon it. You did not break down because of your trials. You broke down because of your foundation. You did not give up because life was hard. You gave up because your foundation was not hard. These two stories, I call it two in terms of two different people, reveals to us why things fall, why things fail, why things crumble. And it made it clear it's a foundational issue. It's not because Satan attacked you. No. Because the storm beat on both houses. If the issue was the storm, listen to me, why did both houses not fall? So now, this is, oh Lord, help us. Therefore, the way you pray, you must be very careful lest you pray for the wrong thing. Because if you were to set up a prayer point or prayer conference to pray for the one whose house was being beaten and the house was crumbling, the life was crumbling, the business was crumbling, the marriage was crumbling, the whatever was crumbling, and they told you to set up a prayer meeting, I can assure you, you would have had the wrong prayer point. Because you would have prayed against the storm, I rebuke the storm. I command the winds to be deviated. Your prayer point would have been against the rain, against the storm, and against the wind. You would not have prayed for foundation.
That's right.
And so that tells me one thing. I don't know if you'll understand me this morning. I just pray with all those watching. I want to make life easy for you. Amen. Focus more on your foundation. And you will not need to pray unnecessary prayers. Because you're supposed to pray necessary prayers. I give you an example. You see the one that was founded on the rock? The house that had the foundation on the rock? Let me tell you something. Even if that house doesn't pray, it cannot fall. You see the one founded on the sand? If it likes, let it pray 40 days dry fasting. It will fall. Because prayer cannot sustain anything that has no foundation. If you like, go and marry without proper foundation. Let me see how prayer will sustain that relationship. Go and start a business with no business foundation. You don't even know the simple laws of price or demand and supply. Go start. And so that's why God told me this year, he says, go back to foundation. You know, last week's Sunday, I was preaching in church in London. You know what I preached on? Repentance. I went back to repentance, conversion, repentance. Back to, and I did part one. I told them I'll go back part two. First Sunday of February, I'll do part two. Because next Sunday, I'm away as well. You know, back to foundation. And I tried to explain to them, scripture says, repent and be converted. It's two things. We don't understand that. Because the problem is, we have a lot of people in church who have repented, but they are not converted. Because the Greek word repentance, metanoia, it just means change of mind, change of direction, a U-turn. Change of mind. You make up your mind to stop doing something. That's repentance. But conversion is not that. Conversion is the heart. It's the heart that gets converted. The mind gets renewed. So I tried to explain to them the three things. Scripture says be born again. It's your spirit that gets born again. It's not your mind. It is not your body. Oh, you think you're born again and you're messing around? The same blood, you know that you're born again, but your blood didn't get born again. It says renew the mind. The mind gets renewed. The mind doesn't get born again. So because you're born again, your mind will still think crazy things. You will still look at that sister and see beyond what she's wearing. Your mind will still see things. Your mind will still tell you things like an unbeliever's mind. There's, because your mind didn't get born again. Scripture says renew the mind. But then the body, scripture says again in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, says present your bodies. So the spirit gets born again, the mind gets renewed, and the body gets presented. Then you are a transformed human being. Back to foundation. Oh, very simple teaching. Because we just assume people know. No, that's a costly assumption. It's a very costly assumption. If you read Isaiah chapter 58, put it up for us in the Amplified Version. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 12. I won't speak for long this morning, like Pastor said. Isaiah 58 verse 12, it says, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up foundations of buildings that have been laid waste. If I take out the bracket, it says, you shall raise up foundations of many generations. And you shall be called repairer of the breach, restorer of the streets to dwell in. Do you have expanded version? You know what's expanded? EXB. If you don't have, that's fine. I can read my expanded. All right. Expanded says, your people will rebuild old cities that are now in ancient ruins. You'll rebuild their ancient foundations. You'll be known for repairing or called the repairer of broken walls and for rebuilding or the restorer of roads and houses. Roads are where people walk on. You'll restore roads because people have missed how to walk in life. You need to restore the roads. You know, at times, if you grew up in a city like this, you wouldn't understand. But if you grew up in a type of traditional or agricultural setup, there are always roads that people even create. They will leave the main road and start walking in the bush because it's shorter. After a while, it creates a road. When many people walk on it, it becomes a road. But it is actually not a road. It is just that people have made it a road by constant use, constant. So there are lots of things we now do because people have been doing it. Our culture has been doing it. Our society has been doing it. Gradually, you start calling that thing a road. And so, when you're not telling your child to go somewhere, you say, no, take the road behind the mango tree. It's not a road. But it has become accepted as a road because of constant use. What society has done is, because of constant use through the media, constant use through the system, it has created alternative pathways in our lives. So now we know this is how we're supposed to live life, but there are alternative roads we are now using that are not supposed to be roads, But they are now transformed to roads and people use them. And then you guess what? That road that you have created is actually passing through someone else's farm. All the person needs to do is to one day come and build a building. And guess what? If all you knew was that one and you never knew the real one, suddenly you find yourself in life floating. You thought you knew things, but life has not come in a way that you feel like you know nothing. Challenges have brought you to your ground zero, and now you just realize, what do I even know? I thought I knew stuff. But there's a clarion call for foundations to be restored. That's why in 1 Corinthians, put it up. I just read, my target is I'm actually going to Genesis 3 because that's the foundation. 1 Corinthians, put up chapter 13. Let's read from verse 11 to 14. Any version you put in is fine. Even you put in New King James Version, that's still okay. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 3, sorry. 11 to 14. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 14. It says, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Right? No other foundation. It says, but if anyone builds upon the foundation, builds upon what?
The foundation.
That's the thing. What are you building upon? Settle that. Don't be in a haste. Take this month of January, shut the door, and settle your foundation. It's very simple. Because that's what you're going to build on. Because God is just telling you, if the building is not on the foundation, you can now build whatever. You can see, it says, some with what? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Now, you see, straw, wood, hay, they are all different varieties and qualities of building material. But you see, the key thing is the foundation. And I'll show you what happened. The ones with the hay and the wood and the straw, they used the wrong building material. But their foundation was okay. And now, see what now happened. Go to the next verse. It now says, the work of each one will become plainly, openly known, shown for what it is. For the day of Christ will disclose and declare it, because it will be revealed with what? Fire. And the fire will test and critically appraise the character and worth of each person has done. You see that? Next verse 14, it now says, if the work which any person has built on this foundation, any product of his effort, whatever, survives test, he will get a reward. Verse 15. But if any person's work is burnt up under the test, he will suffer the loss of all the reward, though he himself will be what? Saved. But only as one who passed through the fire. Now, watch this. Listen. Right? Even though he made mistakes with the hay and the straw and did the wrong building, because the foundation was correct, he just lost reward, but himself, he will be saved. He got it. It is foundation that determines where you end. What you build will determine what you get. Oh, someone didn't get me. Even though he built with straw and with things he was not supposed to do, because the foundation was right, he got saved. He made it. Therefore, when foundation is wrong, it doesn't matter. If foundation, now, watch this. If foundation is right and you build on it straw, you get saved. Therefore, if foundation is wrong and you put gold on it, everything goes. And so the key thing for me this year is foundation. And the temptation of the pressure I have is there's so much in my spirit I want to teach. Lots of revelations. But now I'm constrained this year now to go back to basic things. It's a very difficult thing for a preacher like myself.
That's right.
Trust me. It's so difficult. Because now it's like you have to now go back and be giving people now milk just to get them back in order. And now, so let me go back. Remember how I started my preaching? I said, if you have a two-story foundation and realize you needed a 10-story building, what do you do? The first thing you do is just ignore the fact that, you know, it was a two-story foundation and just build 10 stories on it. The second thing you can do, you can choose to lose the investment of the two. Knock everything down, uproot the previous foundation, and now lay a new 10-story foundation. Now, the thing is, you will lose a bit of time in life. But in the overall, holo masakata. And that's what I told myself I'm going to do this year. I'm going to help people destroy wrong foundations and build new ones. Isaiah 58, verse 12 says, you will repair ancient foundations. Because you have no clue the amount of blessings God wants to load on your life. You really have no clue that if that foundation is not sorted, you hinder God. You will hinder God. Because he himself, he knows, and God doesn't waste resources. So what will happen is that oh, Lord, help us. You'll be stifling God's channel into your life because then he wants to release some powerful things. But your foundation is betraying you. It now says in Genesis 3, verse 1 to 7. So I told myself, let's go back to foundation, right? And Genesis is the foundation of Scripture. By the way, you ought to have known by now that any doctrine in Scripture is found in Genesis. Genesis is the seed. It's the beginning. Genesis is the DNA of Scripture. Everything is there. When they came to Jesus, they said, they approached Jesus with relational crisis in homes. He said, in the beginning, it was not so. Matthew 19. So you see, he took them back to the what? Beginning. That's the key. So what I want to do this morning is to go back to a foundational issue and just show us the mindset of the devil. If you understand how Satan operates, you will have a huge chance of succeeding in everything you do. But if you don't understand, because that's what happened to Eve and Adam, they knew God. Scripture says, Adam, the son of God. So, life is not just about knowing God. You must know the enemy. That's why Paul says, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. The things that a lot of people know a lot about God, but they don't know about the enemy. No, no, no. The enemy will get you if you don't know him. And so, the foundational issue I want us to look at today is how to prevent Satan from bringing chaos in your life. So, we go back to Genesis. So that after this sermon, you go back home, shut the door, and put that foundation in order. Now, follow this story. It's a very interesting story. It says, now the serpent was more subtle or crafty or shrewd or, you know, than any living creature of the field. Which the Lord had made, and he, Satan, said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? Now, can it really, look at the way he put it, be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree in the middle of the garden? You saw that question? New King James says, has God indeed said? And did you notice the question mark? Good. First thing you must always remember is that when Satan comes to you, how do you know Satan is talking to you? It's very simple. Eve didn't know initially. She thought she was dealing with a physical snake. But a physical snake has nothing to do with the word of God. How did she not know that something was speaking through that serpent? Are you listening to me? Number one, listen. When Satan starts speaking to you, how do you know? There's one thing he does, Sarah, a very simple thing. He will put a question mark to God's word in your life. The moment you realize that you are questioning God's word, something is speaking to you. Are you with me? I'm telling you, it works in every situation. It works for big and small people. And this has no... Adam was a great man of God. Never you forget that. The first prophet that ever lived. The first man of God on earth was Adam. So he got him. So, who, you and I, what do we have? Adam's father is God. There's no ancestral spirit anywhere. Nobody has worshipped an idol. Listen to me. There's nothing you can say, oh, he must have done that, so he's paying back for his sin. No, he's not paying back for anything. For you to understand, if people in that perfection could be trapped and enticed by Satan, it should make you humble. It should make you extremely humble. The first thing you must sort out in your foundation is one.
Oh.
No questioning of God's word. Get that foundation sorted. Where you believe God's word is God's word. You know why? People don't necessarily compromise because they don't like God. No. They compromise when they stop believing or they start doubting some things God said. And you see how Satan expanded it further. He said, no, God knows that that's not what's going to happen. And I'll get to that. But I want us, first of all, settle the foundation of the authority and the place that you give God's word in your life. It starts there. Because when storms begin to beat, that is what will hold you. Oh, I'm telling you, when storms begin to beat, you will be surprised that a time will come, your mind will be convinced to do something wrong. But the foundation in your spirit will not allow you to do it. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree? Of every tree in the garden. And the woman said, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, verse number 2, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. You see, follow this. Eve has responded. See what happened. Follow the process. Satan put a question mark on the word of God, right? Eve responded well. He says, yes, that's what the Bible says. I can't do it because that's not what God has said. So you can see Eve has some level of foundation in the word. Go to the next verse now. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Eve said, God said, if I eat, I will die. The serpent said, no, if you eat, you will not die. Now, what is happening now? What is being attacked here is not necessarily Eve yet. It is the word of God in her foundation. Because Satan knows if I destroy that foundation, and that is what he did, as long as that foundation is intact, Eve will not eat it. So Satan knows, don't come and be convincing Eve to eat it. No, just destroy the foundation she has that makes her believe that God told her not to eat it. Once you destroy that foundation, she will eat it. So Satan went after the foundation of God's word. Now, you know, when you look at the churches, when my churches, I mean the body of Christ and Christianity, you realize that each time Satan wants to destroy any aspect of Christianity, he attacks the doctrine that carries that particular area of Christianity. Once he attacks that doctrine, then you end up with a man marrying a man. All you need to do is just attack the doctrine of marriage. or the uniqueness of the gender, so shall a man leave father and mother. Once you attack that doctrine, I make all that, well, that was in those days, you know, when Paul was writing, it was because of, once you attack that doctrine, and people now believe the counter version, they will now be doing it even in church, and to them it's okay. The greatest assault on Christianity today is this one I'm telling you about. It is an assault on the foundation of God's word in your life. Because, and I'll do that, remember I told you I started a series on repentance. In part two in the series, I'll just give you a little hint. I'll be differentiating to the people in church the difference between who is an unbeliever? Because we don't know the difference between a Gentile. At times, Paul will say the Gentiles. At times, say the wicked people. Then he uses unbelievers. We just interchange them. It's not the same thing. To be an unbeliever, you must have heard something and refuse to believe in it. That's why you are unbeliever. So there are people, Paul, Romans chapter 1, he calls them Gentiles. He didn't call them unbelievers there. Why? Gentiles. Unbelievers are actually in church. So the greatest unbelievers are in church. Which means the word of God comes and they don't believe it. And Paul says, keep away from such people. That means even in church. Why did Paul say keep away from such? Because they interact with such. That tells you the people are not outside. He even said if a brother or a sister. You know, Paul allowed you not to interact with some people in church. What are you talking about? He said if some people are like this, like that, don't even fellowship them. Don't visit them. Delete their number from your phone, even though you're in the same church. It's not everybody. You know, at times when they talk about marriage, they say, oh, don't marry an unbeliever. So people's minds have gone outside. No. Some. It's a strange concept. I won't explain details, but all I will let you know is be a believer. And what are you believing? God's word. Do that so you can be an authentic member in church. Otherwise, you'll be an unbelieving believer. You sit in church, but you believe nothing. It's a strange concept. Okay, so Satan said, you will not die. No, you will not die. You shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Huh. You see what's happening? He is saying to Eve, God is trying to deceive you. God says you will die. God is not serious. He doesn't mean it. You will not die. It's just that God knows that if you eat it, you will become like him. So he's trying to prevent you from enjoying your life. So what Satan did to Eve was to give Eve the impression that the word of God is making her not to enjoy her life. That the word of God is restricting her from succeeding. That it is because of the word of God that she's still single. It is because of the word of God that he doesn't have much money. Because if you remove this, your Bible thing, you would have been rich long ago. So it presents God's word as an obstacle to your success. And because every human being is born with the innate desire to succeed, you start seeing God's word as a problem. You now know that if not of this church thing, I would have married 5 years ago. Eh? The guy was nice, but just because. Therefore, why are you single? Because of the word of God. So you see, you start seeing God's word as an obstacle. Maybe you're the type of man that you like little things all over the place. So to you, God's word is that thing that is binding you to one woman. So you see like an obstacle to you expressing your life. That's a simple, classical way Satan operates. Are you following me? And so what am I saying is I'm trying to explain to you how your foundation will be attacked. You get to situations that you will find yourself struggling to believe what God said. I'm telling you, you will. And all I'm saying is that when you know what you're listening to, it's easy to resist because you know how it normally ends. Are you following me? He says, no. Don't mind what God is saying. That thing pastor is preaching, it won't work. Don't. It's not like that. You know, well, that's your opinion. That's what they tell pastors nowadays. That's your opinion. You know, it doesn't make me feel happy.
Yeah, you're not in my shoes.
You're not in my shoes. Now watch this. When that foundation of the word now has been destroyed, right? Let me tell you what it did. It took it to the next level called the power of influence. Next verse. Follow this. He said, go back to the other one. He first of all said, let me just finish that. He says, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see what Satan told Eve? He says, you will be like
God.
But she's already like God. Genesis 1:26 says, God created them in his image after his likeness. This lady is already like God. So Satan is offering her something she already has. But all Satan wants is for you now to deviate from God and get it the satanic way. There's no blessing Satan can bless you with. Ephesians 1:3 says God has blessed us with all blessings. Even the thing making you backslide, you already have it. And you know that Satan wants you now to get it the wrong way. But you already have the blessing. You already have the prosperity. It's there. She's already like God. Why doesn't she know? And because of that, follow this now. It gets so interesting. It says, for God knows that the day you eat it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse number 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was what? Good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. Hold on. When she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. Now, when they say she saw, you are thinking it was a physical thing she saw.
No.
She's always seen this thing. Right? It is now, she's now seen the tree through the lens of what she has heard from the devil.
That's right.
Have you ever been... Okay, let me come back to, especially to a young lady. You know, at times you meet a guy, right? And he's not all that. You know what I mean? And people are wondering, what are you doing with this kind of a guy? Nobody understands what you're seeing. But you see, what they are looking physically, but you're looking at the guy through your ears. And you're looking at him based on what you have been hearing him say. He said, Junior is not like that. You're probably misunderstanding him. He's a nice person. Because two of you are looking at the same person. One is looking through the physical eyes. The other is looking through the ears. Because you see through what you hear. Keep that very clearly in your mind. That's why faith comes by hearing. You see through what you hear. And it works both positively and negatively in the sense that the guy can end up being the most fantastic husband you got. And people will be like, wow, thank God you made your jump because you believe in what he was telling you. And he ended up being authentic to what he was telling you. On the other hand, if he was deceiving you, same thing happens in the negative direction. So you now see if now, what I call the power of influence, now she's being influenced by two things. What she's hearing and what she's seeing. That's why it says we don't walk by sight, but by faith. Okay. In Luke 8:18, okay, just give it to me quick. Let me show you two things. Luke 8:18 and Mark 4:24. Let me just show you something very quick. Luke 8:18 says, any version is fine, okay? It says, therefore, take heed.
How?
Someone say how.
How?
Say it again, how.
How?
How you hear, right? Why is Jesus warning them? Take heed how. Because the ear is one of the gateways into the spirit. The eye is another gateway. And the ear. So Satan used two gateways to access Eve. Pass through her eyes and pass through her ears. If someone successfully passes through your eyes and your ears, you will do that thing the person wants you to do. Exactly. You see that? Take it. Someone say how. Say how you hear. Go back to Mark 4:24 now. Mark 4:24 now says, same Jesus, not another person. Take Jesus. Luke says, take heed how? He says, take heed what? Have you seen it? Two things. What you hear is the content. How you hear is the attitude. And that's why when I watch movies, I can listen to any music. It can be even rubbish music, right? Because I know how I listen. It doesn't go to, I listen in my head. I can watch any movie. It won't affect me. Because I have segmented what I see physically and what goes into my spirit. The psalmist even said it, set a watch. There must be a gate in your spirit. Yes. Eve failed to do that. She just allowed everything to see. Because whether I like it or not, you will think thoughts that are crazy. You will see things that are crazy. What are you talking about? You know, in those days, they would normally say, oh, don't watch TV, too much TV, you see naked women, then you break your TV. Listen, my friend, you will see naked, you will see cleavage, proper one. So if your eye hasn't been trained to put a block in your spirit that you can look at it, and even if it's enticing, that 1-2 seconds, you knock it off so it doesn't access you. If you cannot discipline yourself that way, you are in trouble. In those days, you had to go out to look for sin. Now, sin comes looking for you. It is sin that is evangelizing you now. There are children in the hall. Before, if you wanted to even do that thing, I'm saying that because of the sake of children, you had to actually go out and look for her. Nowadays, no. You wonder, she will come to your room. The internet gives you that power. Just click the button. Somebody will knock at your door. Isn't it? Why are you looking at me with holy eyes like that? That's what happens now. That's what people do. Just to let you know that we've come to a level now that you must be careful what you see and what you hear. So the next foundation after God's word is the foundation of sight and of hearing. Oh, put those two in order. You see, here is Madam Eve. Now, thank you, brother. Go back to the Genesis. Now, Eve is watching the tree. Are you with me? How come suddenly that fruit now looks what? Good and pleasant. How come? You see that? Because something else has happened. The foundation of the world has been attacked. So now, everything, the ripple effect now, is on the way her outlook of life, her philosophy of life, her perception of life has changed. And you see, you see this thing called media, whether it's social media or the internet and movies you watch, some of those things have a lot of influence on you, and you may never have a clue. The only way you can escape is back the foundation back of the word. Otherwise, this thing will so deviate you. You that was a very nice person, nice man, nice woman, suddenly, you have no clue when Jesus says, take heed how you hear. That is the attitude with which you listen to things. It's not yet the content, just the attitude. In other words, as long as it is not biblical, and it's not sound doctrine, I listen to it, but my attitude to it is condescending. That means it's rubbish. Yeah. That's why I take it how you hear. That's why at times, even when I listen to some preachers, they don't impress me. Because I seem to be listening to motivational speakers. And I'm looking to see the biblical principle of what you're saying. And I can't find it. So, how I hear is a key thing Then content, what you hear. Ladies and gentlemen, put in your spirit an antivirus for how you hear and what you hear. So if you hear the wrong thing, that's a virus entering your spirit. That antivirus in you, spiritually speaking, will attack it. I'm showing you what they did to Eve. Have you seen that? So be careful the voices you listen to. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. Even in, whether it's the media, the movies you watch, the home movies you watch, I said be careful. People you follow on Facebook, on Twitter, some of you, your greatest heroes. If I were to ask you, who is that person? You wouldn't know. What is the principle by which that person? You just, oh no, the person is saying, you're finished. Let me not even go into that. You know, it's a strange thing. Let me just finish this thing. I need to finish in the next 10 minutes. So it says, wise, desirable to do what? What other wisdom is this woman? Adam and Eve. Adam, that is a genius. He has all the real estate on earth. He has named all the animals. This guy is a super wise guy. What wisdom again are they looking for? Just because, and that takes me to the next foundation. Dissatisfaction about yourself. Someone didn't hear me. Satan will create in you a dissatisfaction for yourself. So what's happening to Eve is that Eve now has self-esteem issues. She now feels that she is not what she should have been. She can be better. So in trying to become, because she's not satisfied. Now, I'm not saying you must always be satisfied at your level. No. Understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about spiritual reality now. That means at any point in time, Paul says, I've learned to be content. Even when you aspire for something greater, appreciate the one you have now. Because if you don't, okay, you're still renting. Thank God you even have a roof. Some people sleep under the bridge. Look at this woman. She wants to become what? What are you? Just maintain your lane and then let God promote you. Don't fight to get things that God hasn't ordained for you. Anyhow, so the next thing is, the problem of this society is the fact that people are not satisfied with anything. Give them £100, they will not be satisfied. Give them £500, they will not be satisfied. Show them all the love you can, they will still complain. Die for them, they will still complain that you did not die well. Do anything, they will still complain. And we live in a complaint culture, especially in England. That's why we have complaints procedure. Every company has it. All right. When last you see a company with compliment procedure, that means someone did so nice to you. Tell me, in your company, what is the process to follow if somebody in the office was very nice to you? Oh, you see that? You didn't understand what I just said. So why do they have complaints procedures for those who did not behave well, and there is no appreciation procedure or how do you call it? What's the opposite of complaint now? Compliments procedure. It doesn't exist. You see the same thing in church. The pastor or the leader or the usher or the deacon that has been a blessing to you for the past 5 years. Then one day the person spoke rudely to you and you leave the church. Bye-bye. Even in your life, look at some of your friends. From primary school. All right, that may be too far. From secondary school. You guys were doing always school university, soaking Gary together. You guys were putting Gary in the water and doing the thing with sugar and some peanuts, right? You and that guy went through. Remember that year, semester, you couldn't buy those manuals. That's the guy that bought it for you. 20 years down the line now. You lend him some money, he didn't pay back. You have forgotten. You forget that guy paid your fees one day to the exam. If he hadn't paid, you may have missed an entire year. So what is 1 year in your life worth? You have forgotten. I'm going back to foundation. You have forgotten. Eve has suddenly forgotten all the things God has done for them. Somehow it has just gone. So this foundation is a foundation of appreciation to God. Don't let that thing go anywhere. That's why even when times are hard, think of the good things God has done for you. Because Satan will get you when you go through crisis, and then he tries to disconnect you from the goodness of God. To make you feel that God is not favoring you. No, if you want to be like God, if, relax. What do you want, if? Gold is in the river. All the animals, if, what, just thank God, appreciate it. When Satan attacks your spirit of appreciation, a major foundation in your life is gone. It will cost you a lot. Okay, let me, oh, thank God, I have to finish at 1 o'clock, so. It says, desirable to make one wise. She took of it what? Fruit. And did what? Ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he, both of them. You see what they did? She did what? Someone say she took. Say it again. She took. Okay. You know, reading the scripture, you can see Eve was the one dialoguing with her. We don't know where Adam is. But all we know is that wherever he was, they took his portion there and gave him, and he ate, both of them. Okay. But I strongly believe, why did the serpent not go through Adam first? Or meet both of them together? Somebody's not following me. Ooh, this is another chapter. Why did the serpent target Eve? And the serpent is very smart. The serpent knows, get Eve will get Adam. Why did Adam not question Eve where she got it from? If you don't take it, can Eve say, you see, you don't love me. Now I'm contributing to the family, you're rejecting it. If you question too much, Are you suspicious of her now? Or if you give and she doesn't and he doesn't eat, so you think I'll poison you? But see what I'm driving to is this. Come, Sarah. I'll keep you. don't mind me. You see, here is Adam. There's Eve, right? And the serpent is talking to Eve. The first thing the serpent did, you know, the word, remember the pattern, the word, power of influence, sight, and you see, right? And then appreciation, she wants to become, she's already a beautiful lady, but something is telling her, you know, you should become, okay, watch. All of that, are you with me? Adam is somewhere else. So, Eve is somewhere else, dialoguing with the serpent. You know what they did? First, isolate her. Someone didn't get me. Isolate her so that she'll be alone. If Adam was there, I guarantee you, it will not work. You cannot convince both of them. Adam would have said, if God said. But because she was isolated, it was easy to deceive her. You didn't hear what I said? Hear me clearly. When you read all through scripture, my friend Dr. Ade, you may be seated, Sarah. Dr. Ade, you know, professional counselor, he has a PhD in professional counseling. And he was telling me, he visited the church last year, was telling me that scripture has what you call the one another verses. And he developed a model in America of counseling by using the one another verses. Go to scripture and read the one another verses. It says, pray for one another. Blah, blah, one another. Blah, blah, one another. It says, Hebrews chapter 10 says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves. Because isolation is a powerful strategy Satan uses. He disconnects you from people. He makes you feel like nobody understands me. Nobody loves me in this church. And then you withdraw. Ladies and gentlemen, you're entering dangerous terrain. Because when you watch National Geographic and you watch when those cheetahs and those wildcats want to catch an antelope. They always try to isolate one. Oh, you didn't get what I said. They will attack and they are looking for the one that is isolated. Their target is isolate. They know if you don't isolate. Ladies and gentlemen, when a voice starts telling you, withdraw from the brethren, don't pick their calls. Oh, someone is not following me. I'm trying to show you how Satan works. Don't go. Don't interact again. Isolate and destroy. That means there's a foundation in your spirit, which I call collective culture. Even though the book mentioned that, but in parenting, is that always have a collective culture in your spirit. That is why when God blesses you, have a collective culture. Who are those in need I can bless? Always think one another. As long as one another is part of your foundation, it becomes very, very difficult for Satan to get you. Okay, let me go back to even relationships. You see this kind of thing, a young man comes to you, he says, no, you know what? And don't tell people. People are jealous. Let's just keep it between you and I. You know, when everything is ready, they are trying to, danger, thank you, my sister. See, that's what I'm talking about. Isolation. Privacy. Usually, you fall into sin, is the same pattern. Privacy, isolation. Then he gets you. Because no one else knows. Because, let me go to my last point. Let me leave that one there. So he gave to her husband, both of them, and he also did what? Eat. So the next question for Eve is, God told your husband, and your husband told you, or God, however, God told both of you, right? So she knows what God said. Now she's at the point where God said, the serpent is saying. So at the point of what? Decision. But you know what God and your husband told you, or your authority, or your leader, whatever. It doesn't matter. It can still be the reverse, right? What should she do at that point of confusion? Go back to the leadership structure and say, so the serpent is telling me. But you see, the next thing Satan did was disconnect her from the authority structure. That leadership structure cut her off. So she doesn't see the need or the value to consult. Because she could have either consulted Adam or even consult God directly. No, she didn't. You can see that she made a major decision without covering. Back to that same story again. Now, he's planning to do that, book the court wedding date, everything. The pastor even doesn't have a clue. Your parents don't even know. Let me even put pastor aside. Your parents, your best friend doesn't even know. You kept it even from your best friend. A man made you keep such a plan, even from your best friend. Sister or brother. When it's a man doing that, I tell the sister that, listen, he has many like you. That's why he's trying to keep it secret and private. When it's a woman, it's different. When it's a man, no. There are at least 2-3 of you. So he doesn't want all of you to clash. So he's, each of them, he has told them the same thing. It's just private. Nobody should know, you know, when I'm ready. And now I'm ready. Like, he lives in Australia. And you're 20 hours of flight, and you're waiting. So the thing is, when you understand how Satan operates, you make life easy for yourself. Are you following me? I know I'm saying foundation. Like I told you, foundational thing. There's no big grammar revelation. I'm just showing you back to the foundation. This is how mankind started. This is how mankind fell. And Satan hasn't changed. I hope you know that. Neither has God changed. There are two things that have never changed. God or the devil. Same. He said that all same serpent, the deceiver, hasn't changed. I'm showing you how, if you avoid these traps, it becomes so difficult for Satan to get you. So difficult. Break the authority. And now look at our world today. Authority is one of the greatest chaos. Whether it's authority to the state, authority towards parents for children, authority is shattered. Nobody, because we have a false sense of independence. We have a false sense of thinking that authority means you're being controlled. And I tell people, why do you have friends with authority when it comes to the things of God? But you don't have authority when it comes to your work. They say, come to work at 7 in the morning. Even if you went to the club and came back at 6, 7, you're at work. You have no problem submitting to that professional authority. All right, you're driving. I was driving yesterday, and I wanted to, but there were so many cameras on the M25. They've gone and installed those crazy things all over the place. Now, I want to go fast, but I'm under the authority of the speed camera. Now, I don't complain. I want to go fast. I feel like going fast. I'm happy going fast, but I can't. Come now to church. You're controlling me. Why didn't I say DVLA is controlling me? What kind of control is this? And what kind of country is this? Somebody cannot even drive freely. Somebody cannot even express his driving potential. Somebody cannot even control how he uses his money. You cross the 40,000, they just knock you 40%. Why didn't you see that the HMRC is controlling how much money you work for? Your money you work for. They came and they took 40%. They took it before they gave you the balance. No, you didn't complain. Did you? That's the thing I'm saying. We operate under authority all through our lives. It's no different with God. And they should have consulted me first. Why are they just making chance without informing me ahead of time? Oh, really? Anyway, let me finish with the last one. No, let me end there. I promise to end at one. Rise up on your feet. At times, it's good to honor your word. But today, like I told you, well, it's going to be a surprise because I just wanted to handle foundational issues. Just put them across so you just start meditating. And I know I'm not going into depth in any of the things I've said. I'm just touching things like that so that you go back and put perspective back to your life. There's a verse in scripture. I hope I preach on that verse one day here. It says, when you fellowship with one another, the blood of Jesus does what?
Cleanses
who? Us. From what? Therefore, you can receive cleansing through confession and repentance. You can also receive cleansing through fellowship. Oh, somebody's not getting it. And Satan knows how to isolate them. Isolate them. Because when you come in a corporate environment, even if you don't have faith, the other people who have faith, because in the spirit it becomes one. Saul is not the prophet. King Saul is not the prophet. But he made the mistake one day of going into an environment where prophets were there. That spirit came on him. He began to prophesy. Listen, do you know the changes that take place in your life just because you came together? There are battles that you win, you didn't pray for, you just came to church. That's why Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. You have no clue. There are breakthroughs that will drop on you because someone else in the hall has downloaded that thing. And because you are in that vicinity, it's like you go into a room and they're frying chicken. Whether I like it or not, stay there for 1 hour. It will smell on you. It will. Isolation. Satan isolates two ways. Let me conclude. Positively and negative. Negatively, one is that you're going through trials, difficulties. Nobody's there for you. So you detach yourself, right? The second way is that miracles start happening. Blessings are flowing. Money is entering. Then you now isolate yourself again. It happens both ways. The first one is negative and the other one is positive. That means now you feel that you have arrived. So you don't want disturbance now. Oh, someone didn't get me. Lift up your hand and pray to the Lord. Lift up your hand and talk to God. Because you talk about isolation, putting is the only way you're going to try out. No! God's blessing can make you isolate yourself. If you are not a smart person. Father, thank you for this little man. Come, let me bless you, my friend. Thank you for this little man. I bless him. I declare your faithfulness upon his life. I declare his eyes will see what his mates cannot see. His ears will hear what his mates cannot hear. His wisdom will be anointed. Your grace upon his life will prevail. I bless him as your servant. He will grow to be a preacher. He will grow to be a very wealthy man. He will be celebrated. Not just because of his wealth, but because of his commitment to you. So shall he be established in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know who your parents are, but my God told me to do what I just did. Amen. God bless you. Go back to where you were. Father, we bless you today. We help us to set our foundations again. To, like Paul said, to think again about ourselves and just put back structure, reorganize, rearrange a new perspective for 2020. To shut the door and Lord, we don't know what to say. All we say is have mercy on us. For we know you have so much for us. There's so much blessings. For the days are coming, oh God, we will not even pray for physical, material things, for they will be in abundance. We know it. We know it. All we ask, help us to lay the proper foundation and to understand how Satan operates and to be aware and not to fall into any devices of the wicked one. Bless us today. Prosper the works of our hands. Be with us as we celebrate this anniversary week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can someone say amen?